going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business, what I call him whenever I have him on the show, Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
I also always use the Arrested Development line, there's always money in the banana stand.
How much clearer can I say, there's always money in the banana stand!
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey Kevin, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That's right, the man known as Fishy Business, but not really. We just call him that because we're jerks. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Kevin Fishbane, that is his actual name.
I call him Fishy Business because I think it's a term of endearment.
Is it? I mean, let's ask the
Ann
man
Heron
himself.
Was on something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ann Heron can get away with it. He's fun and entertaining and likable. Kevin Fishbane is the senior writer at The Athletic covering the Bears. He joins us now on the Midday Show on The Score. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, guys. I do wonder what Floose's nickname would have been for me.
Fishy, no doubt.
Yeah, just straight fishy. The lack of originality in and of itself. Yeah, I know that because I've seen the lack of originality with his actual team. Because I witnessed that for two plus seasons.
Sorry to bring Floose back into the conversation.
How dare you? I think the better question, though, is my first impression of the Bears drafting Colson Loveland actually kind of comes back to it. Because at first I'm hearing Ben Johnson say, we're going to strip it down to the studs. You know, it's complete blank slate. Well, this very particular tight end pick would indicate that that is not the case. Like, this is a guy already drawing comps to Sam Laporta, and not because of that reason. He was previously. And you know exactly what he does on the field. So when you found out that they were drafting him, what was your impression?
You know, I honestly wasn't surprised, Layla. Excuse my voice. I just lost it 2 minutes before I went on the air.
Do you need us to vamp, you know, like fill the time while you clear your throat? That's possible. We can do that.
Give me a minute to vamp.
Okay. So I can number one, say I'm sorry about us messing with you and calling you Fishy Business all the time.
I would also second that apology and say it's probably my fault more so, because I really enjoy when Ann Heron says in your open that we have cultivated for you Fishy. I call him Fishy Business.
But the way he says it is so pleasant. And then I'm like, Fishy Business. Blah.
That's not what you sounded like, first of all, because that sounded very sea urchin, Little Mermaid style.
Ursula?
Yes, Ursula. So
Ursula was misunderstood.
Is that are you one of those? Do you find yourself siding with the villain more often than not?
I am pro Disney villains, yes. You're like, except for Scar. Scar's gotta go.
I think the thing is, when you talk about a villain, it's like, can I understand where they're coming from at least? That's right. Where you start.
Do you know where they were wronged?
Yes.
That's really the question. Are you feeling any better, Kevin?
I think so, and that was some great vamping. That was you guys took it to another level.
We did not mean to immediately go to a dark or deep place there. A, how do you feel about Fishy Business? B, do you side with any Disney villains? C, what do you think of Colson Loveland?
Yeah. Okay, A, Anthony Herron, call me whatever Anthony Herron wants. He's earned that right.
Perfect.
B, Disney villains.
Is there one that you're the most sympathetic with?
You know what, I'll say this. My kids recently got into the movie Encanto, and what I love about Encanto is that there isn't really a villain.
Okay. All right. I have not seen that particular film, but I will check it out.
Kind of like in life.
Because now I've reached a point in parenting where you have to skip all the villain scenes because the kids don't enjoy them.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like, oh, here's a movie where I don't have to fast forward at all because there isn't really a villain.
Wow. See, you're with us on this. It doesn't always have to be good guy, bad guy, conflict, end movie.
Exactly. But that's not why you called. Well, it might have been. Colson Loveland. So 3 weeks ago, Nate Tice wrote a phenomenal piece at Yahoo breaking down Colson Loveland versus Tyler Warren.
I have it up on my computer right now.
You know, and coming away from that, Leila, I was like, this Loveland guy fits. Like, he kind of matches everything we know about Ben Johnson and what the Bears want to do with that position. Like, this makes a lot of sense. Because I actually started to mock him to the Bears last week, and I went through some, like, galaxy-brained connect-the-dots in which Dane Brugler, our draft expert, compared Colson Loveland to Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz was with the Eagles in his prime. Who was with the Eagles that same time? Ian Cunningham and Press Taylor, the Bears passing game coordinator. Like, done. We're good. We're all set. Now, granted, they'd have to see the same comp that Dane Brugler did. But anyways, you can see what I'm trying to explain was I was kind of talking myself into this over the past few weeks. So when it happened, I wasn't that surprised. And I think I know we're going to say this a lot, and we'll say it the rest of the weekend as they continue to draft offensive guys. Like, you trust Ben Johnson. Like, if Ben Johnson tells you that Colson Loveland is a better fit than Tyler Warren, and if Ben Johnson tells you Colson Loveland is better value there than a Josh Connerly for what they want to do, if you believe in Ben Johnson, I know it's like an easy way out, but like, you just got to believe in that pick. What I do like about Loveland compared to Warren, he's 2 years younger. I think it's like slightly better measurements when it came to arms and hands. And I watch a lot of Michigan, and I just think that what really struck me throughout the draft process is the people who study this stuff always had Warren and Loveland super close. If you watched college football last year, you were talking about Tyler Warren 100 times more than you were talking about Colson Loveland. And I think that says a lot about Loveland. That even with that horrific Michigan passing game, he was still in that position to be talked about with someone like Tyler Warren, who was like the king of college football, at least in the Big Ten at times last season. So I just, to me, guys, when the Bears make a draft pick, I always say to myself, does this make sense with what they want to do, and does this fit? It is check mark.
I love it because the way the draft just happened to fall, right, with three offensive tackles off the board, you get a truer sense of, well, one, who do they prefer? You know who they prefer. It's right there in front of you. They could have taken Tyler Warren if they wanted to. They chose this. I also wondered, coming into the draft, and I don't think we have a complete answer on this, in terms of whose draft is it? Is it Ben Johnson's draft? Is it Ryan Poles' draft? And I'm not saying it can't be both of their drafts. I'm just wondering who's got final call. How much is Ryan Poles listening? And we'll find out much more in the second, third round, and beyond about that tonight and into the weekend. But do you think this was a draft of convenience for them in that they didn't have to make a trade? It just kind of fell into their lap, and that behooves the Bears in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird spot for them to be in because you guys went through all the mock drafts over the past weeks, and it's like, yay, the Bears have the 10th pick, which is awesome, but then it falls that way, and you're like, well, wait a second. If they're not going to get Jeanty, if they're not going to get Mason Graham, if they're not going to get Will Campbell, and those are really the only blue-chip guys that you could talk yourself into dropping to 10, then you're, I don't want to say stuck, but you're in a position they were in last night, where it was, you know, like once they were on the clock, I'm thinking, okay, it's Loveland, it's Warren, or it's Mykal Williams. Mm-hmm. Like those are the three guys based on all the boards we looked at, based on what the Bears needed. And look, you're not going to come away with any of those three guys at that spot being like, the Bears won the draft. but it just, like, because that's just the way like this draft is. And I do think that, you know, look, I said this the other day to somebody because people always ask me, like, well, who do you want the Bears to draft? And for me, it's like, well, somebody who's a good interview because it's all about me and I want some good quotes. And somebody who, like, this is a ridiculous mindset, but I'm going to give it to you guys. I want somebody who I don't have to, like, spend the next however many months defending. Defending is the wrong word because I'm not, like, it's not my job to defend the Bears. But I do think it's my job to help give perspective and help give context. And there's a lot, like, for example, I had a lot of work to do in 2017 trying to give some context and perspective to that draft pick. And this one, there's a little extra work, but anybody in that spot, like, you were going to have to kind of talk your way through, like, oh, Mykal Williams, you know, I don't know, like, Tyler Warren, it's a tight end. Colson Loveland, it's a tight end. Like, everybody at this point had something that you had to kind of talk yourself through. So that's why I come back to the Ben Johnson piece. Like, you put your trust and faith in Ben Johnson, and you put your trust and faith in the fact that this is a player who Arif Hassan does a great job putting together kind of a consensus big board. It takes 76 draft boards. And I think Loveland was maybe 14th or 12th on there. So again, like, you're taking a guy who everybody thinks is a top 15 player. So, like, you know, position be damned. Like, just take the good player.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially on the defending part. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today as we talk to Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, Bears beat reporter. And, Kevin, I also think a big piece of this is just look at the same position and how many different ways we have talked about Cole Kmet over the past 2 or 3 years. There's the year where he was the team's leading receiver before he signed the contract extension. Then there was the he's not being utilized enough year. Before that, there was the he needs to hold on to the football more. And, you know, that's a second round pick that we're talking about in Kmet. You know, and we know that Chase Claypool, his former Notre Dame teammate, was also drafted in the second round. That's something we ended up having to discuss as well. But the bigger question to me is not only why do you like this player? It's can you actually do the thing you want to do on the field regarding that player's talent and function? I have much more faith in the case here because you're already seeing the visualization with the action.
Yeah, and Leila, I had a coach from another team text me today and said, Ben Johnson knows tight ends, right? Like, he coached that position in Miami. And so even before he was a play caller doing the things he was doing with LaPorta, like, that's a position that he became an expert in. So, like, when you're thinking about how is Ben Johnson going to put Colson Loveland in position to succeed, right? Like, that's the guy. That's the coach who you expect to do that. And, you know, it's funny you bring up the Cole Kmet thing because even when Kmet was drafted, that first year we were sitting there being like, well, where is Cole Kmet? Like, why are, like, they, like, the staff that drafted him couldn't figure out how to utilize him until later in that rookie season. So, you know, I think that, like, I'm very fascinated to see what this looks like. We could talk 12 personnel, and we will talk about it for months. Like, the reality is that if, like, one of these two guys is not going to be putting up necessarily numbers that lines up with the contract, and that could be okay if they're still putting up really big numbers. I always, like, look, the Patriots in the early aughts or teens, whatever you call that, when they had Gronkowski and Hernandez, like, that's the pinnacle of on-field, obviously, production in terms of having two tight ends both be really, 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 really good. And you can't use it as a comparison because that is the unicorn. But I'm interested. I'm very interested to see what this looks like and how, because when Ben Johnson got hired, one of my first thoughts was, oh, here's a coach who's going to know how to use Cole Kmet. And he's obviously also going to know how to use Colson Loveland. So now we see how they use the two of them together.
So is Cole Kmet, is his production in jeopardy here from your vantage point? You just brought up the ultimate, you know, people winning fantasy championships with Aaron Hernandez and Gronk on their fantasy teams back in those days. So
the LMFAO era.
Yeah. So, like,
Cole Kmet, should he feel threatened by the presence of one, 10th overall pick in Colston Loveland?
Yeah, Marshall, it's a good question. Look, the Cole Kmet press conference, when he goes back, it's going to be the one we're all looking forward to, and you guys all know Cole's going to handle it very professionally. Look, he got paid. He's still getting paid a lot of money. So that's like one side of it, that he's in a really good spot in his career. And I think he could look at this as that it could benefit him too. I mean, look, they could look at those Patriots teams and say, we can do that if they want to. Like, I don't want to call it impossible, but it is the top of this happening. So yeah, look, I just think when you have DJ Moore, you have Roma Dunze, you still have a quarterback in his second year. Like, it's going to be hard for all those guys to put up the production they're capable of. But you go back to Ben Johnson. If there's a coach that's going to figure out a way for Cole Kmet to have 700 yards and Colson Loveland to have 900 yards, I think you feel really good about that. I mean, guys, I remember being on the show early in the winter, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, but like, Bears' number two tight ends receiving yards combined over the last like 4 years is insanely low.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's crazy.
It's really bad.
Right? So like, already you have completely elevated this position. So really, like, again, if Cole's doing 500, 600, 700 yards, like, and Colson Loveland is doing what you'd want a first round pick to do, I think you feel really good about that. So I'm not ready to immediately say Cole is like on the outs, and you look at his contract and this isn't going to work out for him. I want to see how it's all going to come together.
Now, he had 719 receiving yards in 2023. That led the Bears in receiving that year. That is terrible.
Which says a lot about where the Bears were with passing offense.
Exactly. And you're the guy, Kevin, who keeps stats on snaps and, you know, who's playing how many snaps. They didn't run enough plays last year. Like, let's just start with that part. You figure you're at least running, 10-15% more plays in a Ben Johnson offense.
Yeah, and the thing which was really interesting about Cole Kmet last year was his catch percentage and his yards per target were career highs. So if you do the math there, if you had given him the ball more often, like, you would have seen really even better production, because the advanced stats, he was playing at his best level in his career. He just wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. So now you have a guy who's going to figure it out, presumably, to get these guys at football. You know, it's so funny, because I think it was, like, we've done this whole 12 personnel conversation before in Chicago. We did it when it was Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet. We did it when it was, people are going to shudder. Here we go. When it was Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen, we had that conversation.
God. Second round pick for that guy.
Yeah. About having two tight ends. So, I don't want to like totally go down that path, because I do think this is different. It's a different coach. It's different players. It's different skill sets. But it's also a reminder how long it's taken the Bears to figure out how to work. The only time it really worked for the Bears was when it was Martellus Bennett and Zach Miller. And that's, I believe, the last time they had two guys at that position with at least 400 yards in the same season.
Kevin.
So, again, very, very capable, very easily attainable thing for these two guys to get.
We're up against it, but I still need to know, two picks early, 39 and 41. What do you want to see the Bears do there?
To go back to my earlier point, Marshall, about me having to answer to Bears fans as if it's my fault, get me every lineman you can so that Bears fans can be happy. I think offensive lineman or defensive lineman and then running back are probably the positions I'm keen in on. Very interested to see where Caleb Johnson, Travion Henderson go tonight, because you can imagine what both those guys would look like in this Bears offense. But I got to imagine you got to get an offensive tackle at some point tonight.
I agree. Kevin Fishbane, thank you so much for joining us. Kevin Fishbane, the Bears beat writer for The Athletic. He joined us on Twitch as well. Kevin, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
I think that was the chime to end it.
That was him logging off.
It was. Speaking of The Athletic, we have both downloaded the PDF, baby. Let's do this. Who's your guy? 312-644-6767. The Bears have two rounds today. Let's rock. So, second round, who's your guy? Is there somebody you mentioned earlier? I'm really sorry about what happened with Brock Lampe still. The Huskies didn't deserve that. But we are back. So, 312-644-6767. One last segment to round out the week. It is the Midday Show on The Score.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Score Middays presents Who's Your Guy on 670 The Score.
Okay. My guy is Caleb Johnson, running back, Iowa.
My guy is another one who showed well at the Senior Bowl. Defensive tackle from Toledo, Darius Alexander.
Apparently, I am now getting the server error from the Beast. This isn't good.
Turn it to drop. Just drop him. Forget it.
So we had a little bit of an issue yesterday. I troubleshot, whatever you want to call it. Like, we did all the things.
It's troubleshot.
It was on The Athletic. The interactive version of the Beast is sexy, but it requires a lot of bandwidth. Maybe on the first day of the draft, you didn't have enough to supply your demand. You know what? That happens in life. Unfortunately, the listener suffered. So we downloaded the PDF version. Don't tell our IT guy. Don't worry about that part at all. So we're here. That's the point. We're back, and we're here to figure out who's your guy in one final segment of The Beast. So let's kick it off. 312-644-6767. Dave, who is your guy?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning. Glad I finally hooked up with you, Layla.
Thank you. Who's your guy?
My guy is Jared Wilson, center, Georgia.
Way to go. That's how we get it going, Dave. That was excellent stuff. Jared Wilson, 6'3", 310 pounds. He is 21, soon to be 22. He went to Georgia. He's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. His strengths.
The nuns would have loved you.
That's as high of a praise as you can get from Chuck Swirsky during this Easter season. He grew up playing soccer. Soft footwork shows in his movements. Led all offensive linemen at the combine in the 40-yard dash. All that running does you some good. 4.84 in miles per hour, 21.04. That is the fastest ever for a center. Large hands to latch underneath defenders with firm base. Flexible hips help him adjust and say, I'm laughing. What? Of course I'm laughing.
I got you.
Stay centered in pass sets. Maintains outside leverage on the front side run of plays. That's the best thing I've heard so far. Initiates contact with tight placement to stay engaged while creating leg churn. Locates moving targets as a puller. His weaknesses.
You know, I mean, I was beaten by nuns.
Oh, what? Two ends of the spectrum.
Why? Why? This Easter isn't even a week old yet, Robbie. Only one season of starting experience in college. Average arm length and technique can break down against defenders who make first contact. Quick to recover when he overextends, but needs to avoid awkward positions. See the 2024 regular season tape against Texas. More wall-off blocker than true road grader in run game. Will overshoot landmarks on climbs and needs to sacrifice some urgency for better control. Doesn't have proven positional versatility, just 93 career snaps at guard. Overall, still relatively inexperienced, he needs to develop his consistency as a drive blocker in the run game and when working underneath defenders to anchor in pass protection. Overall, Wilson lacks premium size and is fundamentally rough around the edges, but he sports the body control, movement skills, and football IQ to lock down a long-term starting center role. His game is reminiscent of Rodney Hudson's, and he should compete for immediate starting reps. The grade is second round on Jared Wilson.
All right, next up, we've got Jay. Jay, who is your guy?
Hello there. My guy is Donovan Ezeraku, defensive end, Boston College.
Solid.
Donovan Ezeraku. He is the number 6 ranked edge, according to Dane Brugler's The Beast. Number 22 overall from Williamstown, New Jersey. 6'3", 248 pounds. He is 21.58 years old. His strengths.
My face is my credential.
That's a solid pull right there.
It's so true. Hot Boy Summer is happening.
He is a bendy athlete with disproportionately long arms. accelerates
Ryan
well.
Pace, settle down. Ryan Poles, settle down, Ryan Poles. Settle down.
Any of the Ryans, settle down. Accelerates well around the arc with impressive body dip. Go-to move is a jab step with a slap cross chop to pry open the rush lane. Uses length to chop down and erase blocking hands. Explosive laterally to sidestep and maneuver around roadblocks. Uses a swim arm over moves to blow through tight end blocks. Durable. Started 36 straight games before opting out of the 2024 bowl game to preserve his credentials. Led FBS in sacks per game, 1.38, and took home the 2024 Ted Hendricks Award as the nation's top defensive end. Weaknesses.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Whoa.
Don't get in the ring, Mr. Tyson, if it's past your prime. He's below average height with a very light frame. Needs to get stronger in both his upper and lower halves to better match up against NFL linemen.
Both halves. All the body.
That's his entire body. Maybe not his belt line. He's good at the belt line.
All right.
Doesn't have power in his hands to move blockers with a bull rush. Will have a tough time two-gapping. Only average speed and struggles to close the gap in pursuit. Quarterbacks can shake him in the backfield. He needs to stay under control, breaking down in tight quarters. In summary, as a pass rusher, Isaraku is more dip and rip than he is a force player. With his natural feel for depth points and the different ways he's used his jab steps and cross chops to soften the corner, he can be overwhelmed at times against the run, but flashes the length to get into opponents' pads, lockout, and stalemate at the point of attack, especially on the move. Overall, Isaraku, a tad light for a stack and shed edge setter, but rushing the passer is his calling card, and he has the arc acceleration, body flexibility, and long active arms to break down the balance of blockers. He has NFL starter-level talent, and his tape says he is more than a designated pass rusher. He is a first-to-second-round grade.
Oh, somebody's going to steal. We continue on Who's Your Guy. Let's go to Tony. Who's your guy?
Opposite Montez Sweat, Mike Green. And they got to do whatever it takes to get this guy.
Mm.
I like your sense of urgency. Who? Mike Green. Marshall, 6'3", 251 pounds. He is 21 years old. He was a one-year starter at Marshall. His strengths?
Tackling machine.
I think that might be true, actually. Displays athletic twitch and play violence to live in backfield. Linear bursts to get upfield and explosive lateral steps to create his own rush lanes. Great feel for cross chop moves and balance at top of the rush. Credits wrestling background for helping him play from low leveraged positions. Able to forklift blockers and create force from immediate acceleration. Bends with body control to dip the quarter, and he can do standing backflips. That is always a plus in my scouting evaluation. I am not kidding. I love it when football players do gymnastics. See Tyreek Hill.
Good celebration.
It just shows your agility and your strength and your burst. Sets edge with purpose. Uses upward hands to out-leverage blockers. Competes with physicality to work off wham lead blocks and find ball carrier. His weaknesses.
He is baseball Patrick Williams.
Ooh, that's bad.
That is horrifying. Who is he talking about?
I would guess Nick Madrigal.
Okay.
I think, no, it was Andrew Vaughn.
That broke my brain.
Yeah, that's too high of an expectation for Nick Madrigal.
I think
it was Andrew Vaughn.
Okay. Well, while I simmer on that, let's read the weaknesses. Lacks elite size measurements, average arm length, smaller hands. Worked hard to get weight above 250 pounds, but doesn't have the frame to get much bigger. How nice for you that you struggle gaining weight. Can be engulfed by larger blockers and blotted out in run game. Understands gap responsibilities, but can occasionally be late responding to inside run lanes. Plays an overdrive at times, overrunning the ball carrier and wearing himself out. Of note, NFL teams will put his background under the microscope. He was suspended at the start of his second year at Virginia following sexual assault allegation. He was not charged. His case was suspended. Green has denied any wrongdoing, sexual assault allegation while in high school. No former charges were filed there shortly before signing day. Virginia requested he signed a zero-tolerance policy. So in sum on Mike Green, a high-activity pass rusher, he explodes off the ball to win in multiple ways, showing bend, speed, and the acceleration force to work through contact. despite his lack of elite body length. His rush move arsenal expanded as the 2023 season progressed, and he learned how to be effective against frequent chips by running backs and tight ends. He went into the 2024 season focused on developing against the run. That paid off in a major way as he showed an improved stack and shed and better overall gap awareness. Overall, Green is a twitchy athlete with the burst and body control to win a one-on-one battle as a pass rusher and set a violent edge in the run game. As long as his character checks out, he is one of the top pass rush prospects in the draft class with the disruptive ability to be an NFL starter. The grade on Mike Green is first round.
As in now, as in somebody go get that guy if you trust his character.
And yeah, we read about that. So there is the information.
There it is laid out for you. Next up, who's your guy? Another Tony. Tony, who is your guy?
What's up, guys? We need us a safety. And guess what? The best safety is still in the draft. His name and the likes of the great Mike Brown, Andrew McCuba.
Andrew Makuba out of Texas.
Tony.
We appreciate the enthusiasm, Tony. Not ranked in the 100, but he is the 7th ranked safety according to Dane Brugger's The Beast. Strengths.
You just got a lineup of gangsters.
Yeah, PCA. Let's go.
Let's get it going. Shot out of a cannon when driving downhill on run fits. Shows good feel for run game geometry to leverage outside run paths with pursuit angles. Combs feet. And comes to balance on the move as a tackler. Drops pads to tackle low and hard and take out the feet of the ball carrier.
That's what you do.
Plays with route recognition to read passing concepts and anticipate receivers' breaks. Tracks eyes of the quarterback and flashes a closing burst to arrive with the football. Driven individual. Left Clemson because he, quote, wasn't being pushed enough, end quote. Former defensive coordinator Brent Venables. He's easy to coach and cold-blooded on the field. He's a self-starter and really ambitious. Weaknesses.
Oh, I don't have any comment. I mean, I really don't.
What's understood doesn't need to be spoken, but I'm going to speak anyway.
He's always doing something unless he's, he's always available unless he's doing something.
So this guy is undersized and has body type of a cornerback, including short arms and small hands. Flies downhill.
Why are you looking at me?
Flies downhill and delivers blows, but lacks desired mass for violent collisions versus NFL size. Questionable finishing strength as a tackler when not squared up. Some tightness in movements show when asked to play man-to-man. Lack of size shows in coverage when shielded from catch point. Wasn't nearly as comfortable playing nickel. Prefers to be a true safety. So in summary, Makuba is at his best, flying through alleys with urgency and conviction, but also with enough control to course correct angles while at full speed to leverage the run. He plays bigger than he looks, but he has mediocre finishing strength, and some teams are worried about long-term durability because of his aggressive play style. Tell me if you've heard that one before. Despite an average athletic profile, he is quick to read run pass and shows terrific discipline in coverage. 18 passes defended, 0 penalties over his final 26 games in college. Overall, Makuba's lack of size will be more noticeable against NFL competition, both in coverage and run support, but he brings energy, instincts, and play speed to the secondary. He has the mentality and talent to compete for a starting role at free safety. He is a 3rd to 4th round grade.
That is this year's edition of Who's Your Guy? I'm sorry we couldn't get to it yesterday, but the Beast just wasn't cooperating. The Beast is temperamental.
But the Beast is alive now.
That's right. We have a lot more draft stuff to discuss. There was some chaos on our draft show last night with Mark Grody, Judson Richards, and Dave Wanstead, and it went viral. And I think it's in response to one Clay Matthews trolling us. So we'll examine it next. All right. We always have fun with Mark Grody. There's no doubt about that. And he, Judson Richards, and Dave Wanstead did the draft show last night on The Score. Marshall and I were part of it. We both thought that Kelvin Banks Jr. was who the Bears were going to select. We were one pick late.
Yeah, we thought he'd be available. He was not available.
We looked really smart, didn't we? Lawrence was also in our camp.
Felt smart, too, especially when I heard you. I was like, oh, she's on my bus. I'm just going to jump on her bus.
Also hilarious, we never actually talked about that as a show.
We did not.
Whoops. But, that's the beauty of being on multiple shows on The Score. You think of new things all the time. So this apparently went viral last night. If you missed how Clay Matthews started the broadcast, I'm not offended. I'm just rolling my eyes and wondering why there wasn't an appropriate WWE-like response. But take a listen. Grody, Clay Matthews, and Chaos.
I'm going to go off script here real quick, Roger, but I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right?
Who's that talking?
Is that Clay
Matthews? My fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
Oh, wait a minute! No! Oh, no, you did it!
No!
Double.
Go Pack!
No! Dave, you can't let this happen. Who? For God's sake, you coached the Bears.
I'm sorry.
Clay Matthews just made my list.
Good luck.
I see you, Clay Matthews.
Was that Clay Matthews reading that?
I believe so. Yeah.
Was it really?
So that is straight out of WWE Central Casting. The way he did it, obviously, but the response from Greg was like, oh, no! Like,
that's exactly how you do it. And then I joked. I was like, who's coming out of the tunnel? Who's going to run out of the tunnel to their music? And then appropriately, the Bears responded with the Jay Cutler gif.
Oh, okay. Yeah, clothesline would have made a lot of sense in that moment.
But, like, can't you see just somebody being like, oh, my God, that's Jay Cutler's music. He's running out of the tunnel. And the thing is, the dignified morning show is like, oh, well, that was all embarrassing. And you know, they went off script and all this. And meanwhile, I'm like, I want to fight on stage.
That's real life. Let's go. By real life, I mean reality TV real life.
That's it. I mean, if you're going to, he knew what he was doing, Clay Matthews.
It was a top tier troll job.
He knew what
Let's
he
be
was,
honest.
He knew what he was doing. He was playing to the crowd. It was a very WWE moment. Lil Wayne was on stage. I'm like, Lil Wayne, fight Clay Matthews in the name of the Bears.
Lil Wayne's not about that life anymore.
I just went complete wrestling.
The first part of Lil Wayne's name is Lil.
I just went complete wrestling mode. And I was like, well, now a fight must ensue in the name of the Bears.
Like, or we can just get back
just
to business.
I just immediately went to the plot.
We needed Olin to just run out on the stage and just clothesline, take him with a chair.
Yeah, forget Jay Cutler. Give me Olin Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way this gets solved, right? Right?
Do we know where the draft is next year?
There's not reasonable ways this gets solved.
Clay Matthews just made my list.
See, and that's a reference. That's a reference to Chris Jericho. So I feel like all of this became very WWE-like now, didn't it?
What's crazy is the next year's draft is in Pittsburgh, so we could have like a Pat McAfee type stuff because he's around from that area. So I just feel like the blob of NFL, ESPN is converging, right? We know this. And so the natural step is just to make it all just entertainment, less facts. That's why I watched the NFL Network last night for my viewing purposes.
You mean like NFL and WWE too?
Yeah, all of it. Because you know, Pat McAfee's involved with wrestling and all that stuff. And then it's in Pittsburgh and crazy stuff. He just had his show in Pittsburgh.
And I remember, we were talking about Steve McMichael yesterday, and that was brought up as it's part of who he was. But, it's not all of who he was. But I do appreciate I appreciate a dude kind of leaning into the not taking themselves seriously and being a little ridiculous and having some fun with the plot, if you will.
It was a well-executed troll. I mean, you can hate Clay Matthews, you can hate the Packers, but you have to, you don't have to, but I'll be like, all right, that was, my measure for that is, if someone on your team did that in your city, you'd be like, oh, yeah. So, like, in that same vein, you hate it because it's coming against your team, but at the same time, damn. That was flawless execution.
You know why he was mad, though?
Why was he mad?
Because the Bears beat the Packers at their house to end the regular season.
They did do that.
Couldn't beat them twice. Could have.
You can't give me the end result of the last game without bringing up the fact that it should have been a season sweep, right?
Because it should have. And frankly, I'm sorry that we all live in your head. I love cheap rent.
That's one way to look at it.
And you know what's really funny is, the booing was pretty intense for the Bears. But at the same time, I laughed because the ESPN broadcast was like, oh, the booing for the Vikings is going to be really strong. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, Vikings are kind of meh.
Or they're good, but you're just like not angry about
it. You don't hate them. People in Green Bay don't hate the Vikings like they hate the Bears. That's rivalry central.
And I always laugh because having Ben from Dallas and then moving to Philadelphia.
Here we go. I already know where you're going with this.
Eagles fans hate Dallas, but Dallas people don't have the same hatred about the Eagles.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's because of the summer and stuff. They just go outside and don't do sports things.
That's fair.
Like in the winter, that's the time where you're traditionally outside.
Maybe they'll go inside.
And also, watch. Cowboys fans, you know, they think they're going to win the Super Bowl every year, and somehow that doesn't happen.
You know who else thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl? Tyler Booker. I could tell by the way he reacted to being drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
That was a moment, wasn't it?
It was like a moment in time.
That was the exact team he wanted to go to. There wasn't even a doubt. You could tell by the way he reacted. He even like tapped the Cowboys logo down the hallway. Like, I want to love anything as much as Tyler Booker loves the Cowboys.
The locating of the logo at full speed running through the top. I mean, not full speed, but in a run.
He stopped and recognized
and tapped and kept it moving. And then he wasn't out of breath and he talked about his Dak. And I was like, okay, bro, we get it. You like where you've been drafted.
Well, what's wild, I sent the audio to you guys. Was Travis Hunter, who was like, yeah, I was looking at houses in Jacksonville on Zillow last night. He was looking at Zillow on his iPad. I don't know about you, but that is the only place I use the iPad is the only way Zillow is functional for me.
It's the same as the iPhone, just bigger.
Nope, there's something about Zillow on the iPad.
I've never used Zillow on my iPad. Of course, I haven't used my iPad in 3 years, so I don't even know if it still works.
I use my iPad all the time.
Oh, I'm either laptop or phone.
219. Olin would come out and stomp out Clay, then point at a clock.
Oh, wow.
The Bears still suck!
All right. We don't need to hear it over and over again, but I do want to hear one thing that if you missed it last night from that show, and that is Ashton Jeanty, all the talk about trading up to get him. Glad that didn't happen. I was on the record beforehand. I stand by what I said. But you know what? I didn't expect Dave Wannstedt to react the way he did to the Raiders picking Jeanty at 6.
Ashton Jeanty, running back out of Boise State, ends up with the Las Vegas Raiders. And not a surprise, though, that he did not get until 10 here in this draft, Wani.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
Really? Yeah, I wondered. You know, I thought maybe he would slip to the Bears.
That was in the back of your head, I could tell.
Damn it. I know. Damn it.
You've hidden it well.
All right. Well, let me. We're gonna.
You're
give
certainly
you,
not alone, Wani.
Where's Shane's bourbon? I wasn't gonna. I'm drinking nothing but water, and I. God, I'm.
We'll go raid his office here.
Doggone it!
After that, you know what? This is a good time to take a break. We're all gonna collect ourselves.
I got to. I'm a little bit. Yes.
I know. I see you. You know what? We'll get some more of that Rinaldi's.
Wait, why is, first of all, jealous that they had Rinaldi's last night.
Yeah, hot honey, not messing around. Hot honey pizza's real.
We haven't talked about this either. And just like our Kelvin Banks pick, obsessed.
Perfectly synced.
Obsessed.
It's paying off. All our time spent together.
Yeah, it really has. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, you, Rinaldi's, Kelvin Banks maybe. Well, not anymore, but you know, it's the vibe. I will cook up an idea of some sort for revenge on Clay Matthews metaphorically in WWE plot.
It could be figuratively.
Yeah, well, it's not realistically. What am I going to do against that guy?
There's stuff you could do. I'm just saying there's stuff you can do.
It'd end up in jail.
Yes, but still, it's stuff you can do.
See, yeah, Zillow's not as good on the phone, 847. Thank you for proving my point. I think there needs to be an equal and opposite WWE style reaction. That's all I'm trying to say. We'll cook it up. We continue the midday show here on The Score. Coming up next, I know one guy who I can trust running through a tunnel who might be able to help us.
Yeah.
Matt Bowen.
Downhill.
Let's rock. He's next on The Score.